I would firstly express our hakaras hatov to all of our rabbonim who have interrupted their normal schedules to be with us this evening. This is a demonstration not only of the source of the achdus with which the Edgware Kehillah is blessed, but also of the constant encouragement and guidance which they have given to the objective of making an Eruv available to the community. Our thanks go also to the Yeshurun for hosting us this evening and taking care of security. It cannot be overstated that the Eruv plans have been carried forward by the generosity and enthusiasm of the whole community. We are now on the verge of completing what has been an unusual and challenging project, and we would like to thank everyone, not only for your material support, but also for your patience and understanding over this long period. We know that the cross-communal Eruv Management Committee will now be able to rely on your continued support to fund all the ongoing operating and maintenance costs, and I refer you to relevant details in leaflets and on the website. We're sorry that the Eruv brochure couldn't be completed in time this evening. Apologies in particular to our generous advertisers. We hope to distribute copies via the shuls very soon. Our Eruv will bring with it not only tremendous benefits, but also special responsibilities on us as a community to ensure that it is used knowledgeably and appropriately. It's now my privilege to introduce Rabbi Lieberman. The Eruv is very much a reflection of his dedication and vision, and it is fitting that in this week of Shabbos Bereishis, he will guide us through our new beginnings. Rabbi Lieberman.
Ladies and gentlemen. In Tikkuni Zohar, it is pointed out that the word Bereishis is made up of the words Yirei Shabbos, to be in fear, to be in awe of Shabbos. And as the Tikkuni Zohar continues, Begad Nedo Tzerech Barnash Nitira de Shabbos. And the following, one has to be extremely careful about Shabbos. Not to carry from a private domain into a public domain. The private domain, that is the domain of the divine presence. As is found in other places, that the Rishus HaYochid, the private domain, is the Rishus of the Yehudai Shaloyla, the one of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The public domain, Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, that is the domain of the mundane, of the profane, of the rabbi, of idolatry. Eruv, continues the Tikkuni Zohar, an Eruv Iyu Amude de Emtzeisa. An Eruv is the intermediary. And an Eruv is in the intermediary because it is through an Eruv that we begin the process of making the Rishus HaRabim, the public domain, into a private domain, the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what the Torah says in this week's Parsha, as we are all familiar. Vayivorech Elokim es yom hashvi'i v'yekadosh oisoi kivoy shabbos mikol melachto. That Hashem blesses the seventh day and sanctifies it, because in it he rests. It is through Shabbos that we become aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is through the observance of Shabbos with all its details we reveal his presence in the world. The fundamental principle through which we live our lives is this belief, that through the observance of the path of Halacha in all its details, meticulously, as defined in Shulchan Aruch and the commentators, It is through that we make from our public and mundane space a space for our Kadosh Baruch Hu in our world. The Torah permits carrying on Shabbos within an enclosed area. Such an enclosed area may vary in size from a small home to an entire community. The Gemara specifies both the definitions of an enclosure and how to render an entire area a single domain. We'll discuss those conditions in a few minutes. They have, Baruch Hashem, been met in order to create the Edgeware area. And I'm honored to be able to formally announce that subject to the regular weekly final checks, the Edgeware Eruv will be functional this Shabbos, Shabbos Bereishis. And it will therefore be permissible within the area described on your maps and according to the conditions detailed on those papers in brief and in detail in the Eruv booklet and on the website, will be permissible to carry on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. At the same time, it continues to be the responsibility of parents to teach their children the halachos of Shabbos and the restrictions of carrying on Shabbos. It is only because of the Eruv that we are allowed to carry within the area contained. Everyone, including children, should be aware of the proper behavior in an area where there is no Eruv. The Eruv will be helpful to families with young children, to individuals who are otherwise unable to walk because carriages, pushchairs, wheelchairs can be wheeled within the area of the Eruv. The elderly, who may need a stick just to steady themselves, not necessarily for walking, will be permitted to carry it in the air. Others will find it convenient to bring their talesim or sidurim to shul, to take svarim, to shiurim, to learn Torah, to carry glasses, house keys, and other items permitted to carry on Shabbos. The purpose of the Eruv is the enhancement of Shabbos observance, not its reduction. Therefore, the existence of an Eruv should not be considered a dispensation to enter places that are not consistent with maintaining the sanctity and Kedusha and the Ruchniistic nature of Shabbos. Whether a community does or does not have an Eruv, on Shabbos, one may not enter a business establishment, stores, offices, libraries, places of entertainment, cinemas, even if you've paid in advance. And the following activities are never permitted on Shabbos. Athletic activities, like bicycle riding, or playing tennis, swimming, skating, or roller skating, or any ball play. The Gemara tells us that Tel Shimon was destroyed because they played with balls on Shabbos. Other things, again, are inappropriate. Putting out the rubbish for collection, posting letters, or even because of the prohibition of Mekach u'Memker, of doing business on Shabbos and making kinyanim on Shabbos. It is also prohibited to bring gifts to hosts on Shabbos. Food that you're going to share together, you can bring. But as to give a gift on Shabbos, it is always prohibited. And even within the Eruv, there are a number of common articles which, because they are classified as muktzah, they're not allowed to be carried or handled on Shabbos at home, or certainly in the street. A wallet, a purse, pen or pencil, a notepad, money, animals, credit cards, passports, checkbooks, Karer office keys. And the accepted view is that an umbrella opened or not before Shabbos, but even if opened before Shabbos or Yom Tov, cannot be carried in an Eruv on Shabbos or Yom Tov. The Eruv may become temporarily invalid. And in order to ensure that no joyous event be marred by disappointment or chas v'sholem, by inadvertent chil Shabbos transgression of the halachas of Shabbos, no kiddush or bar mitzvah or oifer for any other Shabbos event should be planned with the assumption that the Eruv will be operational. Last minute storms, problems with construction, all these could render the Eruv invalid inadvertently, and since events must be planned far in advance, all events should be planned as if there were no Eruv. Food should be brought to the location of a simcha before Shabbos, a copy of the bar mitzvah speech, or maybe even the rabbi's speech, should always be brought to shul before Shabbos. On the other hand, some may prefer it wasn't. Items required for use after Shabbos may not be carried on Shabbos because of the Isser of Hachomer. One is not permitted to prepare on Shabbos for immediately after Shabbos and for the weekday. It is the obligation of each individual who wishes to make use of the Eruv to ascertain every Friday afternoon that the Eruv is in function. Many factors can invalidate an Eruv, and only specific authoritative confirmation on Friday afternoon validates the Eruv for use each week. The Eruv will be inspected every Friday morning and every Friday afternoon immediately before Shabbos to ensure that it is intact. Every Friday afternoon we will notify the community of the Eruv status in the following ways. The status will be available on the Edgeware Eruv website, which is edgewareeruv.org. There is an Eruv status telephone line where you can call. And for those who subscribe, you'll be sent a text message or email to let you know the status of the Eruv. The entire community benefits with the introduction of an Eruv. Shabbos social life is enhanced. More people are able to come to shul to daven. Others are able to attend shiurim to learn Torah. And while each community will be guided by its own halachic authority in response to these new challenges, it is most important that the sanctity and dignity of every mokim tefillah, of all our shuls, our batei medrash, are maintained with the Eruv. Everybody should be aware that the following is not appropriate in a Makom Tefillah. It's not appropriate to change nappies in shul. Or even permitting a child with a soiled nappy to remain in shul is extremely problematic. It's not permitted. The Eruv needs to be, should be an addition to our community to which we are all proud, and to make sure that it enhances our service of Hashem, our Mekomos HaKdoshim, our holy places within our community, our places of tefillin, our places of life. As we mentioned earlier, an Eruv takes a public space and makes it into an individual space. This is a complex and demanding halachic process. Here it has involved numerous experts to achieve a standard broadly acceptable. How does this work? In fact, the term Eruv is a misnomer. An Eruv is but one part of the three that are necessary to be accomplished in order to be able to carry within an area. The three steps are, first of all, indeed, making an Eruv. An Eruv is shared food. An Eruv brings together all the inhabitants of the enclosed area through that shared food. The second part is hiring rights of access to this area. And finally, the most complex, which is defining the mechitzes, the boundaries around an area. We'll deal with each one of those items. In the past, most cities were surrounded by walls. The boundaries were easily defined. There was a prince in charge of the city, and the major act of permitting to carry was through the placing of an Eruv. An Eruv means mixture, and it reflects how the entire Jewish community share it together. We share our faith, we share our identity, and we will all share in a box of matzahs that will be found at the Edra Adas Yisrael. The second issue is hiring rights of access. I'd like you to take a look at the source sheets that you have. And look to source 9. Chazal decreed that in a chotzer, in a courtyard that is shared by Jews and non-Jews, even if it is properly enclosed, and the Jews have made an Eruv together, it is necessary to be seicher rishus, to hire permission, hire rights of access from the non-Jews in that courtyard. And as we see over here, the Lashon, the language of the Shulchan Aruch, uchachol mishpati Yisrael b'chotzer ima'akum, like all the laws of a Jew in a courtyard with non-Jews, kenu b'mavuyoy b'ir. So too it is in an alleyway that is shared, or a city that is shared. U'kishyesh beis chatzeris shel bati Yisrael b'ir, and when there are a minimum of two Jewish courtyards in a city, shrichim liskom kol chatzu v'chatzu sholein yehudi. It is necessary to rent rights of access from every non-Jewish courtyard in the city. Vein maspik v'mashi yisker misara here. Generally, it's not sufficient to rent these rights from the officer in charge of the city. V'yeshemim says the Ramam, however, there are some opinions that when is it insufficient? That is simply l'inyin l'hoitzi l'konis l'rishus ha'akum. To carry in and out of a non-Jew's domain, that is insufficient from the Sarah here. I will etaltel b'movi yochel isker minasar, but to carry in the public areas or in the alleyways and streets, that indeed you can rent from the officers of the city. Sharei derech ha-movi hu shalasar v'yochel usalik ha-akum yisham. Because that area belongs to the responsibility of the officer or governor of the city, and he can remove access from it. And it continues, Medvar Mamurim, when does this apply that the rental from the governor or officer is insufficient? She'ein abotim shaloi, where he doesn't own the houses. V'gam ein lei rishus lishtamish bebotim in your cloud. And he has no permission to make use of those areas. I feel b'shas mukham, even at time of war. Avu b'makim shekol tzorchi yirein yasim el al pi asar yamemune shalai. But any area where the governor is able to requisition private homes for his own benefit, vadi shiskiris ma'asarahu and miskiru b'lekita mahat. Then one is permitted to rent or hire access as is necessary from the governor. In democratic societies, where it is
not permissible for any authorities to enter into one's private home without a warrant and permissions, it becomes extremely problematic from whom to hire those rights of access. The Mishnah Brura's view is that one hires from the police. The view of the Aruch HaShulchan is that one hires access from the local authority who have the rights over planning permission. Here in Edgeware, we have indeed hired rights from the local chief police inspector, from the head of the local council, to satisfy those two views. And in addition, you may not be aware, but the Queen has her personal representative here in Barnet, the Deputy Lord Lieutenant of Barnet. And he too has gratefully hired us rights of access to all that is necessary. However, as I point out, it's not simple, even this process. And it was reported to me from a person who had this discussion directly by the individual who had this discussion with Rav Eliashiv, that while these issues are sufficient to say that somebody who's a Baal Nefesh should be more stringent, it is not sufficient not to make an Eruv because of the issues of Sturis raised. I am aware that within some of the local neighborhood Eruvin that exist in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak, they have actually knocked on every single door in that neighborhood to find out if there were either non-observant Jews or non-Jews living in those areas and being making sure to be masker rishus, to rent rights of access from the people there. Today, when cities have become more dispersed, the term Eruv actually, in modern parlance, has been extended to the act of creating the defined boundaries necessary around the city. To understand how these boundaries are created, we must delve deeper into the background of the laws of Eruv. Among the 39 malachis, the 39 basic general principles of work which are prohibited on Shabbos, we have the Isser of Haitzah, the Isser to carry. Specifically, that Isser, that prohibition, is carrying from a Rishus HaYochid into a Rishus HaRabim, from a private domain into a public domain, or from a public domain into a private domain, or carrying Daladamis and Rishus HaRab, or carrying 4 cubits, around 2 meters, in the public domain. Now each of those terms has a very specific meaning. When we speak about public domain, Rishus HaRabim, it is very specific. Rishus HaYochid, it is very specific. And we need to understand these clearly. I ask you to turn to the first of the sources, which is how the Shulchan Aruch opens the laws of Eruvin, and where the Shulchan Aruch tells us, Arbor Rishuyas L'Shabbos. There are 4 domains for Shabbos. A Rishus HaYochid, the private one, Rishus HaRabim, a public one, a Carmelis. A Carmelis, as he explains, Pirish Rachmal, Loilach Loyovish. It's not dry, it's not wet. Elabainini, it's an intermediary. Hachanami over here too, lo rishusa yochid l'fisha ein lo mechitzis. As we're going to see, it's not a proper private domain because it doesn't have the boundaries necessary to make it into one. V'lo rishusa rav. And it's also not a public domain because how do we define a public domain? We define a public domain based on the machane, the camps of the Diglei Midbar, of the Jews in the desert. And this Carmelis is not comparable to the Diglei Midbar. Because it's also not made as a public thoroughfare, and we have to define that as we will. So that's the Carmelis. Umokim Tur, the fourth domain, is an exempt area. And the Shulchan Aruch continues, Ezel Rishus Ayoch. What is a private domain in which you are allowed to carry? That's a Mokim Hamukif Mechitzis Gvoya Asaritvah. It has to be enclosed by a boundary, a wall, or partitions that the partitions are 10 tefachim high. How high is 10 tefachim? Is a subject of much debate. There are two generally accepted, or three, but we'll deal with two of the extreme opinions. The smallest opinion is that of the Minhag Yerushalayim and mentioned by Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah, and that is each tefach is 8 tefachim. So eight centimeters. 8 centimeters, 10 tefachim would mean 80 centimeters. The other extreme is the view ascribed to the Chazon Ish, which he detailed, which is 9.6 centimeters, which would mean that 10 tefachim is 96 centimeters, just under a meter high. And so the partitions in our Eruv have followed the stringencies of both views. And all the partitions are a minimum of 96 centimeters high. And it's on that basis we constructed the Eruv. However, there is also a need to be stringent the other way. Because there is the din, for example, there is the concept of lovel. That if you have two posts that are next to each other, if the gap is not more than 3 tefachim, or in fact has to be just under 3 tefachim. So if that gap is just under 3 tefachim, that is considered closed. Lovel. It's combined. It's enclosed. That being the case, we have in our Eruv followed the stringency of Rabbi Avraham Chaim Noah to make sure that there are no gaps greater than 24 centimeters or more that would prevent an issue of lovel. According to the Chazon Ish, one could have a slightly greater area. But we have followed the stringencies of both wherever they apply. Furthermore, Rishus HaYochid needs to have, going back to the Shulchan Aruch, Yeshbay, Dalet Tvachim al Dalet Tvachim o Yosef, has to be a minimum area of 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim. That would be 4 Tvachim, 4 times 8 would be 32. Anything 32 centimeters by 32 centimeters. The Chen Karitz Amuk Asar V'Rochav Arbo Al Arbo, the Chen Tel Gvoya Asar V'Rochav Arbo Al Arbo, and so to any defined area, a mound that is 4 by 4 high, that is 4 by 4 in area, 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim in area, and 10 Tvachim high, or a ditch that is 10 Tvachim down, and 4 by 4 in area, 4 Tvachim by 4 Tvachim, would be considered a Rishus HaYochid. Let's continue first. Continuing to source 3, I'm sorry. Ezel Rishus HaRav. What is the Rishus HaRabim? These are rechavos, streets, ushvakim and marketplaces, harechavim tezayin amma, that are 16 amas wide, ve'enem mekurim, ve'en lehem chayim, that they are not roofed, and they are not fully walled. And vafilu yesh lehem chayim, and even if they are fully walled, if they are directly open from one gate on one end to the other gate on the other end, in all these situations, and it doesn't have doors that close at night, all these areas are a public domain. There are some who say, Shekol Shein Shishim Ribui Oivrim Boi Bechol Yoim Eina Rishus HaRabim. That anywhere that doesn't have 600,000 people going through there in the course of one day is not a Rishus HaRabim. It is around this question that the major issues associated with metropolitan Eruv arise. If we can pause and take a look on the bottom of the page at source 6. On this statement of what do we look at as a Rishus HaRabim? Does it need 600,000 people going through there or not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ul'inyan halacha, practical halachic application, Midas ha-mechaber de kosuv de'ezoi rak b'shem yeshenim. From the fact that the author of the Shulchan Aruch of Yosef Cairo wrote this opinion that you need 600,000 only as a yeshenim, as a variant opinion. Mashma v'la'alocha lo'isfira. The implication is that the mechaber does not hold like that. And rather he holds that any area that is a public thoroughfare, that doesn't have walls, and is at least 16 amis, which is just 8 meters wide, is a Rishus HaRabim. And a Rishus HaRabim, as we will see in a few moments, is extremely difficult to make into a Rishus HaYochid, an area where we can carry. However, continues the Mishnah Berurah, Umikol Mokayim Ein Banu Koyach Limchis B'yad Asem Chinal De'Yezu. However, we cannot rebuke those who rely on this opinion that a Rishus HaRabim is only an area that has 600,000 people going through. The De'Yezu Gam Kein Le'das Yechido, because it's not the opinion of just one. As I've explained in my other commentary, and so too, this is the opinion of many later authorities. However, he concludes, that anybody who's a bal nefesh, I had a discussion earlier today how I'm going to translate a Baal Nefesh, literally a man of spirit. It's not just somebody who's conscientious, because there are many people who are conscientious and will carry in this age. Perhaps exceedingly exacting in one's religious standards. Maybe that's a way to translate it. For them, they should be stringent for themselves. This argument, whether or not a Rishus HaRabim is a public domain only with 600,000 people going through it, is extremely complex. Rashi is the source of the opinion that says you need 600,000 people. Tosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, the Rambam, numerous other poskim argue. It's worth pointing out that the Ramah and as well, it seems the Beis Yosef in other places, seem to follow the view of Rashi, that it is necessary for there to be 600,000 people in order for an area to be considered a Rishus HaRabim. According to many strong opinions, specifically according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, any large metropolitan area which encompasses 3 million people or more is certainly going to be a Rishus HaRabim, together with all the streets and alleyways that people have access in it. And so, it only reinforces the view expressed here in the Mishnah Berurah that a Baal Nefesh should be stringent concerning carrying in an Eruv, which relies on that Heter, which relies on the lenient view of Rashi concerning what is a Rishus HaRabim. But let's continue. Because if an area is not a Rishus HaRabim, it's a Karmelis. As he explains, source 4. Ezehu Karmelis. What is a Karmelis? This place which is intermediary. A Mokum, She'en Hiluch Rabim, a place that isn't for the public to go through, to go in Yam, is the seas. Ubika, open valleys or lands, Vitzdavinus v'itztava, which are shop fronts and shop ledges where merchants will sit and display their wares and sell things. Shemifneya amudim rishus harabim, that are in front of the pillars on the sides of the public domain. Another principle necessary for a Karmelis is v'hi rechava arbog v'yam yishloishav adasara, that it is broader than 4, and if it's in a Rishus HaRabim, it's between 3 Tvachim and 10 Tvachim. The Karen Zovyas has smucha the Rishus HaRabim. Or any opening, any corner that is next to a Rishus HaRabim, as he explains, Kigay Mavoh Sheyesh Lehem Sholish Mechitzis Vein Lehem Lechi Yoykaira Brevius. Or any alleyway that has 3 walls and doesn't have a post or a crossbeam on the side that's by the Rishus HaRabim. And to understand this, we first of all have to have a picture in our mind what the towns looked like where the Shulchan Aruch and Gemara were speaking about. And it's simple to explain. There were houses, and these houses opened into chatzeres, opened into courtyards. And you had to have at least 2 houses opening into each courtyard to be considered a chatzer. These chatzeres, these courtyards, then opened into mavoyos. A mavoy is an alleyway like a cul-de-sac. And you again had a number of chatzeres, a number of courtyards that opened into these mavois, into these alleyways. Then these alleyways opened into the Rishus HaRabim, the public thoroughfare. Sometimes these mavois, sometimes these alleyways were mefulish, were open on both ends to the Rishus HaRabim, to the public thoroughfare. If it is open only on one end, so then it has 3 mechitzas, it's like a cul-de-sac, and it has 3 walls surrounding it. That, according to the vast majority of opinions, is what we would consider a Rishus HaYochid. It has the necessary partitions. Chazal come along and say that it's necessary to put a lechi, a post, or a kaira, or a crossbeam in Mishum Heker, as a reminder at the top of that mavoi where it opens into the Rishus HaRabim, in order to be able to carry with it. If it is a mavoi mefulish, however, if it is open on both ends, so then it becomes much more problematic. Because then you do not have 3 mechitzes, you only have 2, those on the sides. And in those circumstances, once again, you have to create at least a proper 3rd mechitza third wall in order to make it into a mavui that would be permitted to with a lechi or a kaira, or you put up four proper walls. The custom, as brought down in the Ramah, is that today, in order to enable caring within any area, we have to make the entire area a rishus hayachid that is surrounded by walls on all four sides. Within that, there are numerous complexities, because there's a difference to walls that are created by proper partitions that are at least 10 tefachim high and go along, and to a different kind of wall. And that is the wall of a Tzuras HaPesach, the form of a doorway. And those poles and strings that we've all heard about, those are essentially a Tzuras HaPesach, the form of a doorway. And that's what creates the partition, which is otherwise open. In many towns, which are dispersed and spread out, it's necessary to make lengthy chains of these poles and string in order to enclose it. Edgware is especially blessed in the fact that all our houses are terraced. They're all connected. And we're all careful to put up fences between our houses to make sure that nobody has access to our backyards, our back gardens. And you will walk the streets of Edgware, and it'll be very rare to find the house that is not attached to its neighbor in one way or another. I've checked literally hundreds and hundreds. In truth, that does provide an additional leniency here in the construction of our area. 99.9% is what we call oimid. Standing is a proper wall. And it is only in the 19 pirtzes, the 19 breaks that are there because of roads, generally, that it is necessary to make a Tzuras HaPesach. A relatively small amount. There are some who therefore say that even if we were to generally say that a Rishus HaRabim does not need 600,000 people going through, however, in an area that is walled as ours is, and there may not be a straight road in it, it would not be necessary to meet the criteria of making an Erev in Rishus HaRabim. I'd like you to take a look at your maps. Right in the middle of the map, there's a green, not so straight line. But it's the A41, the Edgware Way. And it goes from one end to the other end. Is that straight or not? Is a subject of argument between a number of today's authorities. Rav Eliashiv's general view seems to be that it is considered mefulish. A number of other paiskim who I've shown this to, Rav Asher Weiss and others, have said to me that this is not mefulish, that this is not straight through, because it curves in a number of places. And therefore they say that this area is permitted and one can make an Eruv with it. But once again, I point out that it's not according to everybody. And there are numerous opinions who would find difficulty with that. And as we'll see in a few minutes. To continue, the fourth domain is a makom ptura, an exempt domain, is a place, she'en boi dalet al dalet, that is not for tfachim by four tfachim. Voyam nishloisha, it's higher than three ulamayla ad lurekia, goes up all the way. A very good example of a makom ptura is a post box. A post box is a perfect makom ptura. It's not 32 centimeters by 32 centimeters. It's more than three tefachim high. It's according to all opinions. The problem is it has, sometimes has a slanted roof. Oh well. Okay. Having gone through this, we've gone through the four domains. We've explained that Rishus HaYochid, you're allowed to carry in once you've made an Eruv and you've been Masker Rishus. A Carmelis and Rishus HaRabim, you're not allowed to carry in until you've enclosed the area properly. How do you enclose the area? A Carmelis can be enclosed, as we've explained, by any kinds of walls. Even at Tzuris HaPesach. However, when it comes to a Rishus HaRabim, a public domain, I'd ask you to turn over your page and look on the top of the page where it says a Rishus HaRabim Atzma Eina Neteres El Bedalsis. That the only way you can carry in a public domain is if you have made sure there are proper walls around it and there are doors at its openings. V'hu Shenin Oleis B'Layla. And these are doors that close every night. There are some who say, even if they don't close, if you have doors that could be closed, that's sufficient. He goes on to explain, as the Gemara tells the story, that if they are sunk into the dirt, so misaknan shiruuyis linol, you dig them out so they could close. And once you've made that rectification, is kshuva kula kichatzurecha. It then becomes one entirely enclosed area. The aim of tikun, and the rest of it does not need any rectification. This being the case, that the only way that you can close the Rishus HaRabim is through doors. How do we make an Eruv? As we've seen, according to Rav Eliashiv, the A41 is a broad road that goes straight through the middle of our community. This question of how in large metropolitan areas where there are such roads, we make an Eruv, was asked by the Chofetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha that we will now see. As I've mentioned, there are some who say there is a leniency because it's not absolutely straight. But the Mishnah Berurah says further, Hine source 8, Hine mevur b'siv zeh, we've explained in this sif, the Bereshus HaRabim boi dalsis l'kulei alma, that a public domain needs proper doors. And according to the first opinion, we have to close them properly. And without this, one could not carry from the Torah, according to Torah law, in such an area. In the later opinion, if that's the case, koshal miniga oilam. It's difficult, the communal custom, general world custom, that they satisfy themselves with the Tzuras HaPesach in a Rishus HaRabim that is 16 amos broad. Umafulish mishar lishar, and it's direct from one gate to another. Ulelismech al shita dilidon leslan Rishus HaRabim gam ken kosh. And to rely on the opinion that These days we do not have a public domain because we don't have 600,000 people, is also kosher l'smechal zeh b'isur skila. It's difficult to rely on such a view when it is a stringent matter that would bring to stoning. V'anochin, I'm sorry, let's give it kosher moi, d'benis roi v'shonim sovim, the aim, the Gambididon, the majority of opinions amongst the early authorities, according to the Mishnah Brura, is that you don't need 600,000 to create a Rishus Rabbim. Ayin b'mishkin is Yaakov Sheherich Bazaar. See the Mishkin is Yaakov who explains this in detail. I will point out that according to the Beis Ephraim, Zabar Plukta, the Mishkan is Yaakov, who argued with the Mishkan is Yaakov vehemently in this issue. They were both Poskim in the beginning of the 19th century, major Poskim in the beginning of the 19th century. But following the view of the Chofetz Chaim, who follows the Mishkan is Yaakov, which was a reflection of the yeshivas from which the Chofetz Chaim came from, there is a major issue. And therefore it's difficult to rely on. And he goes on and he explains that the reason why we do so in our communities is because of a different argument. Because of the opinion of the Rambam that a Tzuras HaPesach is a partition that is valid, even in a public area. B'layosu Rabbim u'mevat l'mechitzis. And even though there is a large number of people who walk through, man-made mechitzis, man-made partitions are not destroyed. And therefore, the area within those Tzuras HaPesachs or those partitions automatically only becomes an Issur D'Rabbanan. And because it automatically only becomes an Issur D'Rabbanan, then we can rely on those lenient opinions like Rashi, who do not say you need 600, who say you need 600,000 to make a Rishus HaRabbanan. But the once again, the Mishnah Brura concludes, and if I ask you to look at the penultimate line of that Mishnah Brura, Va'al Ken, he concludes, Aftein Limchis Biyado Oilam Shenogu Lahakov, that even though one should not rebuke the community that is lenient, Avo Bal Nefesh Yachmer La'atzma. Somebody who is, as we said, exacting, a man of spirit, should be stringent for himself. Because there is a relationship, a closeness, to a possibility of transgressing a Torah prohibition. It is for this reason, the view of the Mishnah Brura and other poskim, and specifically because of the problems engendered in major metropolitan areas where today we have such large gatherings of people, that we should all be aware. There is a makim to be machmir. There is a place for stringency and not carry in such a room. And in an eruv like the Edgeware eruv. However, the essence of Eruv is a sense of mixture, bringing together. And while the local Rabbanim have all signed that it's good to be stringent, nevertheless, if one wishes to be stringent, they should be stringent for themselves, and not to rebuke those who may not follow those stringencies. In conclusion, I would like to thank my wife and my family who enable and encourage me to be involved in Tzarchei Tzibur and communal endeavors. And without whose support, none of this would be possible. I'd like to thank my community, the Ezra Das Yisrael, and its members who have given me their trust, and specifically the members of the Ezra Das Yisrael Erev Committee, who threw themselves with complete dedication into this project and enabled this dream of many years to become a reality and see the Erev built. I'd like to thank the trustees and the management of the Ezra Erev, who will be responsible for its ongoing upkeep and maintenance. To Diane Aaron Troy, who has meticulously surveyed the Erev, given this project his support, encouragement, and his approval. To other Dayanim, Dayanim of the Federation, and other Rabbanim who have gone through and seen the Erev, have given their approval as well. The Ezra Erev, Baruch Hashem, enjoys broad cross-communal support from the Rabbanim of Edgemar. Many who are here this evening and the others have given their apologies for not being able to attend. The success of this endeavor and the uniqueness of the success of this endeavor is totally due to the ongoing support I have received and continue to have from the other Rabbanim here in Edgeware. Our unity as a community is what makes Edgeware the outstanding kehillah it is. Ve'ezes Hashem, may we continue to work together in peace and in harmony, seeing only good in one another. I would like to close with the tefillah of Reb Nechunya ben Akona. Yiratzen mufanecha Hashem Elokai. May it be your will, God my Lord. Shlo yir dvar takola al yad. That no mistake, stumbling, should happen because of him. And I shouldn't stumble in a matter of halacha. And I shouldn't say on that which is tamei, that it is tar. And that which is tar, I shouldn't say that it is tamei. And my friends should not stumble in the manner of halacha v'esmach bohi. As we begin, may we merit to make this space, the space of the Ezra Kehila, a place of Ashras Hashchina, a place where God's presence is felt, until we merit to that time that will be Kulei Shabbos, that will be totally Shabbos, and it will truly be the domain, the Rishus HaYochid, the domain of the Yehudei Shel Olam, the one of the world, with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhera B'Yameinu.